This morning we'll be looking at the 121st Psalm. So if you could turn there in your copy of the scriptures. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, as we look at this precious psalm, speak what we each need to hear, reveal yourself to us, and draw us deeper into yourself. In Yeshua's name, amen. This is the second of a series of psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 of them. Some have seen that this is a little psalm within the book of Psalms, as it could also be divided into five sections, as the Psalter is. These psalms, some think, were sung on the 15 steps that went from the court of the women to the court of the Israelites. But others have seen that these songs were probably a compilation of songs that were gathered for the journey to Jerusalem for the three pilgrim festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. These are songs for the road, if you will, songs for the journey. And in them comes great insight to us in our journey on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem through this life. This song, a particularly familiar one, is one that speaks deeply to us about our God being the one who protects us on this journey. The writer of this psalm begins, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. And that can bring two different kinds of thoughts to a heart. Here in Vancouver, we lift up our eyes to the hills and we see the glory of the Lord in His creation. And it reminds us that there is nothing that our God cannot do. It reminds us that if He would create this beauty for us, certainly He could take care of us. To the one who was on their way to Jerusalem to look to the hills would perhaps indicate the longing of their hearts to go and be with God, to celebrate His goodness, to celebrate His salvation, His rescue, His deliverance, to celebrate His providing for the harvest and His bringing in the final harvest. There would be great joy in looking to the hills because it would be a reminder, from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. But sometimes the hills could also be a picture of the dangers that we go through on the road. Because in the hills, there were robbers, villains, and people who intended to do harm and could hide in different places. And so to look to the hills could also bring about anxieties and fears. And therefore, where does my help come from when I go through the dangerous parts of life? Again, my help comes from the Lord, the one who made everything, the one who made heaven and earth. And so this is a great encouragement to us in our journey of life, that when we look up, when we see our destination, and when we look at the dangers that are around us, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the one who is sovereign over all the world. Our help comes from the one who is at the most distant star and yet is here right in our midst. Our help comes from the Lord. When Mary was approached by the angel and told that she was about to have a son by the Spirit of God, and he would be the Messiah, She asked, "How could this be?" And the angel had said, "This will be by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh." That this would be by the power of God's Spirit. And she celebrated that and welcomed that. And then at a later moment, when she went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, the Spirit of God came upon her. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, we read the song that Mary sang at that moment of encounter. Mary said in verse 46 of Luke 1, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Mary celebrated the help of God in the coming of Messiah, the help of God to his people, Israel. God is our help, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Being the sovereign God, the creator of all, he is always present to help us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. I always find great encouragement from considering the creation and being reminded of who made all of this. The Psalms are full of this. And Psalm 24 says at the very beginning, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." He made it all. It all belongs to him. Shaul, in the letter to the Colossians, wrote of Yeshua, and he said in chapter 1, verse 15 and following, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, all things hold together. This is our God. By faith we recognize that God made everything out of what was nothing. God spoke and it came into being." That was a wonderful time. I love to read the first chapter of Genesis. Over and over God speaks, and worlds fly into existence, and the earth comes to life, and then human beings are made and created, the highest of God's creation made in his image. God has made all this. When we get to heaven, one of the things we will celebrate is the fact that our God is the Creator God. The angels around the throne, even now, are celebrating, and they are saying, as in Revelation 4, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." This is the God who helps us, the God who made the mountains, the God who made the hills of Jerusalem, going up to the place of worship. We celebrate the God who made the place of worship and the whole earth. This is the God who will help us. And then as we continue to work through this psalm, to travel through this psalm as this song for the road, the next statement that the psalm writer says is verse 3, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." There may be pebbles. There may be rough spots along the road. But he promises stability for the walk. One of our favorite passages, favorite promises from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, says to us, "Trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And that word direct doesn't mean just that he will guide. It also means that he will clear the way, that he will keep us safe on the path. Habakkuk 3, verse 19 talks about how God takes care of us in the different walks of life. Habakkuk says, "The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills." What a glorious thing. God gives us stability and protection step by step in our walk with him. For a long time, one of my favorite things to do is to go hiking. And for years, my in-laws retired in the Rocky Mountains, and so we would go visit on holidays, and I had opportunity to hike in the various peaks of the Rocky Mountains. And one time, as I was hiking, I came across a large boulder field, and I was just going from boulder to boulder, and I hit one boulder, and it started shaking. And I realized if I hit the wrong boulder, I could probably cause this whole field to come down. And it was in that moment that I kind of thought back on many of the hikes that I'd taken, and I thought of how God had protected me and given me feet of stability in all those times of hiking. And then it reminded me of our lives. How many times we go through life and we have no idea that God has protected us here or there. One of these days, when you and I get to heaven, I think one of the great things that we'll do is we will celebrate as we look back and see all the hidden ways that God protected us. Moments when we were in danger, moments when we might have stepped on a boulder and it was about ready to shoot the whole boulder field down the side of the mountain, but God kept it stable and protected us in the way. Thanks be to God that he does not allow our foot to be moved. And then the reality that he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Sleep is one of the strangest things there is. Do you realize we spend a third of our lives sleeping? Now, God could have made it so that we didn't have to sleep at all. But he made it and designed it so that you and I normally need about 8 hours of sleep a night. A third of a day. And I wonder why is that so? I think part of it is to show us that we are not God. To remind us every night when we lay down and go to sleep, we are completely dependent on God to take care of us through the night. We are as helpless as a little baby when we sleep. Things could happen. I had a roommate in university who was a late night person, and he would bet the people in the other parts of the residence hall that without touching me, they could not wake me up. And he made a lot of money off of me, I hear. Some people would come in, I heard later, they'd throw firecrackers in the trash can, or they'd yell at me, or they'd clap. I never heard a thing. In those days, I was a very sound sleeper. But it just reminded me, though, I am totally helpless. And all of us are totally helpless in times of sleep. But praise God, he never sleeps. He never needs to take a nap. He's always on guard. He's always watching over us, always protecting us. Every moment of the day or night, he's there watching us. I was thinking through the scriptures. One of the great psalms is Psalm 139. And that tells of God's ever-present watchfulness over us. David wrote it. And it says this, Psalm 139, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me in behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God sees us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Never does he sleep. Never does he slumber. One of the precious, most precious things of Scripture are those moments when we read how God took care of his people and spoke to his people in the night. Joseph and Mary, Yeshua had just been born. Well, he'd been born and lived a couple of years. And the Magi came from the east saying that they had seen a star, and they went to King Herod to speak about it. And they discovered that Bethlehem was the place of birth, the house of bread. And so they journeyed there, and then they were warned not to go back to Herod. And then in the night, God spoke to Joseph in a dream, and he said, get out of town, because Herod is going to come to destroy the young child. And Joseph, in loving obedience to the Father, took off to Egypt with Mary and Yeshua. And they spent some time there, and then again in the night, God spoke through a dream to Joseph and said, now take the boy back. And then as they got closer to the place where they were going to dwell, again in a dream in the night, God said, go to Nazareth. Don't go back to the place you had intended because of the ruler there. God protected his son through dreams in the night. God spoke to Daniel and his three friends in the middle of the night, giving them the dream and the interpretation that their lives would be spared. Daniel was protected through the night when he was hanging out with a bunch of lions. The angel of the Lord came and shut the mouths of the lions, so Daniel was kept safe. Aren't you glad that our God never sleeps and never slumbers? He never gets tired. He's never weary. He never tires of watching over us. He who keeps us will never sleep and never slumber. And then the psalm writer comes to verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The word shade. Now that the sunny weather has finally come, shade really feels good. Last weekend, the reason I wasn't here is I was officiating at a wedding. And in the afternoon, we were at Queen Elizabeth Park, which is where the reception was, and they were taking pictures. And we were standing outside, and it was hot. And there was this tree right next to where they were taking pictures, and all of us began to cluster under the tree to get into the shade. And there was just enough breeze coming that with the shade of the tree, the breeze made it so comfortable. How precious it is that God calls himself our shade at our right hand. And throughout the Psalms, there are nuggets of pictures of him being our shade. In the 17th Psalm, verses 6 through 9, this is what we read. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow or shade of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies who surround me. So not only does God protect us from the elements, but God gives us shade and protection from those who are wicked and who are the enemies of God. How good it is to nestle in the shade of God's protection from our enemies and those who would wish to harm us. Then in Psalm 36, verse 7 through 9, it says, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow, under the shade of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Under the shade of God, there is abundant satisfaction. Fullness of pleasure is in his presence. And then in Psalm 63, verses 6 through 8, it says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow, in the shade of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Again, this picture of God being our help in the night, that he is our shade. And when we hide in the shade of his wings, in the night, he helps us. And then Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shade, the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. We can hide away in God. We can find refuge in God as we hide under the shade of his wings. What a blessing that God would be our shade. The one who keeps us, the one who protects us, the one who shelters us and covers us. It suggests to us, too, the picture that God is not just masculine, but in God there is masculine, feminine. God created male and female. And the shade, the shadow of the wings, pictures that aspect of God just like a mother bird taking care of her baby chicks. God spreads the shadow of his wing over us and cares for us and protects us and provides for us through all circumstances of our journey. And then in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. We are protected by God from the multitudes of evils that are around us. In Matthew chapter 16, there was an incident of Yeshua with his disciples. They were journeying and they got into a bit of a discussion. Here in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 5, it says, now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Yeshua said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Yeshua, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. God is at work to keep us and protect us from all evil. And in this text, there were two evils that God was protecting them from. One was the evil of unbelief. You and I get in situations in life, and sometimes they may be situations of our own making. Here, for example, they had forgotten. They simply had forgotten to bring bread. And so when Yeshua brought up this analogy, this picture of bread, their minds automatically went, oh no, we forgot to bring this provision. And then they were thinking, probably, oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to eat? We're going to starve. You know how it goes. We get into those situations where maybe we failed to prepare adequately, where we just simply forgot something. Or when a need arises and it looks so big, we just think, how on earth can anything ever take care of this? What are we going to do? And Yeshua then says, okay, I'm going to protect you from the evil of unbelief. I'm here all the time. I'm going to take care of you. Why on earth are you talking about having no bread? Don't you remember when there were 5,000 people plus women and children? And after I taught them, the Father through me fed the whole group. And how many loaves did you have left over? They had 12 baskets of stuff left over. And they started out with just a sack lunch. And then on another occasion, there was again another crowd of 4,000 people. And on that occasion, they had 7 baskets left over. So what on earth are you doing saying that you're going to be caught in a situation where God can't help? Whatever the circumstance, whether it's the result of my own failure or negligence, or whether it's a circumstance that comes on unexpected, whatever the circumstance, God has the ability to take care of us. And so faith is the reasonable response to a situation. More and more, God doesn't want us to be people of little faith. He wants us to be people who reason according to all that he has done, according to his promises, and to reason in every situation according to his promises. And then one of the greatest ways that God protects you and I from evil is that he teaches us the truth. That's why it's so precious for us to gather week by week to worship, and that this book of scriptures, the Tanakh and the Berit Hadashah together, is a precious book to us that we examine and share together, because God is protecting us from all evil. God is preserving our soul by the truth. And the truth is not just objective statements of fact. The truth is a person. Yeshua, I am the truth. The truth is never just something for our heads. The truth is a relationship that impacts our hearts and our whole being. The truth protects us in this world from all evil. I was listening to a person talk about this just recently, and they were talking about how our culture has absorbed a false set of absolutes. And one of the greatest false absolutes is the absolute of tolerance. And if you are not tolerant, then you are absolutely not to be tolerated. It's kind of a twist. But we are protected from that reality. We are tolerant of people. But we reserve the right to discriminate and to discern between one viewpoint and another. We can debate them, and a person can hold it, and I will respect a person for holding a point of view. But I have the right and the responsibility to say if that person is wrong, or if it doesn't line up with who God is and what Scripture says. So God comes, he protects us in so many areas of life, but he protects us in our hearts, that we would keep trusting him, and he protects us in our minds, that we would know the truth and know what to believe and what to think. And then there is the glorious protection of our souls, of our very being. When you and I place our trust in Yeshua, we have placed ourselves in God. Shaul wrote in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, the first three verses, he said, "If then you were raised with Messiah, seek those things which are above, where Messiah is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life right this moment is hidden with Messiah in God." Isn't that a glorious reality? Right now, every person who has trusted in Yeshua, their life is hidden with Him in God. Nothing can get through to us unless it goes through God first. That is the ultimate in protection. Peter wrote about it in his letter, his first letter. He said in verse 3 and following, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Mashiach from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Kept by the Father. Yeshua said on that last night He was on earth, in that upper room discourse in the book of John, He said that I in you and you in me. That's what it would be. That's the blessing of intimacy with the Father, of trusting Yeshua, that we are in the safest place in all the universe. We are hidden with Messiah in God, and He is in us. We're protected inside and out. What a glorious picture of God's protection, that He is our keeper, our preserver, our protector from evil, and our souls are kept safe. And then the last line, the last verse of this psalm says, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Your going out and your coming in. That talks about the whole day. That's all of life. We go out, we come in. We leave in the morning, we come back in the evening. The whole day is covered by God's preservation and protection. And it's from this time forth. How long does it last? All eternity. God's got us covered. Night, day, sunlight, moon, shade, evil, harm, day, night, through the day, God's got us covered. He's protecting us all the way. Now, I have a question. When I look at my life, there have been times where I've gone through some pretty hard things. And I think, God, where were you on those occasions? Weren't you taking care of us? And He comes to me, and He came to me this morning in the second letter of Shaul to Timothy. It was Shaul's last letter. He was in prison for the sake of Yeshua. And he was writing this last letter. And in chapter 4, this is what he writes. Second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. He's saying to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you see it? Did you see the warp and woof of life? Somebody had deserted him. Somebody had opposed him. He had been alone. And yet, God was there all along, protecting his servant and bringing him safely to the heavenly kingdom. Whatever you and I go through, we may go through all sorts of stuff in this life. We may go through sickness and hardship, financial difficulties. We may have all kinds of different troubles that will come along. But in the end, on this journey that we're taking to the New Jerusalem, you and I will arrive there safely. We will get there. In a short time, Shaul would be executed. And that doesn't mean God wasn't protecting him. That means that his assignment on earth was completed. Through it all, Shaul continued to know God in the midst of everything and to share with all the people. And he continued to relate to people in the ordinary parts of life. And he knew that God was with him, strengthening him and protecting him all the way through. Whatever we go through in life, the reality is God is preserving us. God preserves our soul. God preserves us, and we will make it to the heavenly kingdom as we have placed our hand and our life in Yeshua. God will preserve us, our going out, our coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Yeshua, on one occasion, said to his followers, "Do not fear, little flock, because it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We may look weak, we may feel weak and beaten down, but the Father has given us the kingdom, and we will experience the fullness of it. We will make it. We will get there. And then it all comes together when Shaul wrote it at the end of the 8th chapter of Romans. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua our Lord." We lift our eyes to the mountains. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, Yahweh. Our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. He is our keeper, our preserver, our protector, and he will bring us safely home. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you for being our protector. Thank you for preserving us and keeping us. Father, we thank you for that wonderful blessing that you give us to speak over one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and give you shalom. We receive that, Father, and we rejoice in the way you keep us and in keeping us. We know your grace, and in knowing your grace, we know your shalom. We thank you, Father, as we walk through this week, as we walk through this earthly journey on our way to the heavenly Jerusalem. Remind us day in and day out, through all of our days, in the middle of the nights, through the hard and the good times, that you are never sleeping. You are always watching us to protect us and to keep us. Thank you for this glorious security and certainty. Thank you. We pray and praise you in the name of Yeshua.